League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? And most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren, brought to you by Pacific Gales. Now here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Hello and welcome. Thanks again for joining us on Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. I'm Mitch Lawrence in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Darren Bunch out there in California. It is time once again for what I dare say may be, though we love our other podcasts, there's something about the emergency nines that really gets under our skin. And we're thrilled today to have one of our favorite people on with us, Tim Allpaugh, craftsman, artist extraordinaire, all things wood, hickory clubs, divot repair tools, bag stand, trestles, you name it, Tim puts his hands on it, and it is instantly something that you want to have. An author, the author of Claret Dreams, we'll get into that a little bit. We're glad to have Tim on the show, are we not, Darren?
Oh, we definitely are. We had a great time talking with him during Scotland Week, some fantastic stories, some great ideas of places to stay, obviously a lot of talk about golf courses, and now we're going to dive in worldwide, his Emergency Nine, and see what really makes Tim Allpaugh tick.
I can't wait. Before we do that, thanks for finding us as you did on golfnewsnet.com or on iTunes podcasts or on Audio Boom. You can find Darren on Twitter at Getaways Golf, on Instagram at Golf Getaways. You can find me at both Twitter and Instagram at Mitch Lawrence, Laurance. And before we get to Tim and his Emergency Nine answers, first we want to thank our sponsor for this Emergency Nine episode. And boy, are we ever thrilled about Pacific Gales, highly anticipated project beginning soon on the coast of Oregon, about 30 minutes south of Bandon. Are we not, Darren?
We are very excited about it, and obviously I'm a little biased, hoping to move up to that area as construction begins, but I mean, there's no better place to be. We've all loved the Oregon coast for golf for a long, long time now, and this project is just, it's extraordinary. It's on an amazing piece of land, and what's even better is you can be part of making Pacific Gales a reality with the Pacific Gales Founders Club, which we believe might just be the best deal in golf. It's a lifetime of links golf for you and your family in an unforgettable location, plus a host of other benefits, VIP treatment, and it's just what some, including us, are calling the most exciting new golf project in America.
And I think those are really true words. If you want to see what Pacific Gales has in store for you, there's one great place to do it, pacificgales.com. That's G-A-L-E-S. For more information, great photography, stunning site work from Brian Orr, golf photographer extraordinaire. Drink.
And hey, wait, and you know, our guest, Tim Allpaugh, suggested we start calling him Sir Brian Orr, which I think we should do.
Oh, my God. I don't even want to get into this discussion because then he will be a sir. We have not been knighted, and it will give him free rein on any golf trip we take with him. Have you thought of that?
I did not think of that, so we may have to edit this part out.
It's a good idea, Tim, but it's not going forward right now. Anyway, we've got great shots of Pacific Gales from Brian, who is a tremendous photographer. You can follow Pacific Gales at Pacific Gales on Twitter, Instagram. Check them out on Facebook and start dreaming about America's next great golfing adventure, and it will be that today.
Today.
All right. Tim Allpaugh, as I said, joins us. I mentioned Claret Dreams, a great, great book. You can find that on Amazon or go to Instagram if you want to see what we're talking about when we call Tim Allpaugh a craftsman and an artist. You can do it at Claret Dreamer on Instagram. And both Darren and I so suggest you do that. We know Tim's work. We have it. We possess it. We take it with us when we play and we try to pass it along. Tim, you were with us for a great podcast about Scotland, and we're thrilled that you're here for the Emergency Nine. Welcome to Talking Golf Getaways once again.
Thanks, gentlemen. Pleasure to be here.
All right, we're going to get right into it. We're going to roll. As you know, we have 9 questions for you. The first one, your favorite course and or destination anywhere in the world?
Well, destination, I would have to say Scotland, because it has such a variety of courses, variety of elevations and seascapes, and the people are incredibly friendly. The food is outstanding. And within Scotland, I would say Cruden Bay was one course that I played that just wowed me with its vistas, the bathtub green, a blind dog leg par 3. You don't see too many of those in your travels. And the back 9 of North Berwick, I would put up there as a contender.
The blind dog leg par 3. I've never heard of that hole quite described that way, but it is an apt description.
And if you told somebody, oh, we got the blind par dog leg par 3 coming up, they'd look at you like, I guess you had too many sips of the Brian Orr special drink.
Hey, let me ask you a question. We tend to focus on places everyone can play, public golf in some way or resort golf. But you've had a chance to play Pine Valley, haven't you?
I have.
Tell us a little bit about it.
Pine Valley is an incredible experience. And not too long ago, I talked to Gil Hance and I asked him if there was an opportunity for him to collaborate with Ben Crenshaw and Bill Coore, Tom Doak, and put together a single golf course. Would you do it the same way Pine Valley was put together by George Crump, asking his buddies, Tillinghast, Thomas Holt, Colt, Allison, Billy Flynn, hey guys, I found this cool piece of land. Would you come and give me a hand putting together a golf course? And they put all their egos aside and went and picked out this incredible piece, incredible golf course that is, when people ask me, I'm a rater with Golf Week magazine, and people ask me, what is your criteria for rating a golf course? And I always tell them, when you finish your 18 holes and you can sit in at the bar at the 19th hole and recount every shot and every putt and every approach iron, hole by hole by hole, and you don't have to have somebody remind you of what the 4th hole was or what the 7th hole was. You can recount every shot, and that's what Pine Valley is. It is the holes go in different directions. You stand on the tee and you're incredibly intimidated. If you're a decent golfer and you can hit the ball straight, you can play very well. But if you miss a shot, you're punished. It's almost that William Fones, a poor shot should be irrevocably lost. I mean, it's one of those things that when you get to the 18th tee box, you stand there and you lament because the experience is over. And but it is, I've had the pleasure of being there about half a dozen times, and it doesn't wear off. Every time you get there, it's a magical experience. And I've played it several times with my hickories, which is, I put together, when one of your questions is going to be about a punt, top of my bucket list. Well, my punch list is to play all the pre-1930 courses with my hickories. And having checked off Pine Valley from my list, I'm well on my way.
So. We'll move right to that question. What are some of the other courses on that list?
Cypress Point.
Obviously.
Pasatiempo. Brookline. Myopia Hunt. But I've already had the opportunity to play Plainfield, Baltusrol, Somerset Hills, St. George's, probably Marion East and West. I've probably got about 30 of them out of the way now. And when you contact the head pro and you say, I'd like to come and play your 100-year-old golf course with my 100-year-old golf clubs, already you've caught their interest. And you show up and they come out. And the entire staff comes out to experience, to see the clubs, to waggle them, to give them a quick swing, to compare the size of the head to their 460cc driver. And then they all stand behind you. And that's the most nervous part of doing this. They want to see the first tee shot. And karma just helps you out in that department so many times. And you pipe it down the middle and you go ho-hum and you walk down the fairway. And they just,
yeah, I think it's interesting that people playing modern clubs probably don't think about how the hickories can get you into the door at various places. I mean, that's exactly the way I got onto Cypress Point was talking with Sandy Tatum and telling him, look, I'm coming up. I'm going to play the courses on the Monterey Peninsula with my 100-year-old hickories. I would love to play Cypress Point as well as part of that trip. And he made it happen. And it was just it's extraordinary, you know, and it's to play those types of courses with the hickories. Obviously, it's more of a challenge at times, but it also helps you really just understand the spirit of the game and how some of the great designers built golf courses specifically for these clubs.
And you see a bunker in the fairway that you routinely drive over with your modern club, and then you get up with your hickory and you put it right in that bunker and you say exactly why you put it there.
Yep. So.
You know, I had a similar experience. Have you played Palmetto in Aiken?
I have not.
Okay, add that to your list because that's one of those, and I had a chance to go out with the hickories and plus fours. And the same exact thing happened, which is it's a course full of history. It started in the late 1800s and then moved along, and Herbert Leeds, who built Myopia Hunt Club, laid out the initial nine holes. So it's got a lot of history to it. And when there was nobody else there. They were all in shorts with their regular clubs. And I walked up with the hickories and my plus fours on a summer day. And the nerves at that first tee, because the last thing you want to do is top it 10 feet and have them all turn around and go, great, okay, thanks, have a good time. But I think you're right. I think there is karma in it somehow. And I wound up hitting a good tee shot and spent time in the clubhouse afterwards, and there's nothing like it. So I totally, totally agree. All right, we've talked about your bucket list now, so let's move on and get to the next question. What is your favorite place that you've ever stayed?
There are two. In Scotland, it would be the Lynx House in Dornoch. It is far and above the best place that I've ever stayed, where every detail, the attention to detail encompasses every aspect of not only your golf. They have it's kind of a warming hut in the back, sports bothy, they call it, BOTHY. And it has heated cubbies for your golf clubs and your shoes. There are sketch pads there. There are fly rods, and it's in the back right corner, and you pull your clubs out in the morning and they're warm, and you walk three or four paces around the corner and you're 10 steps from the first tee at the old at the Royal Dornoch. The second one would be the Four Seasons at Nevis, and the Robert Trent Jones Golf Course sits there. Just spectacular views, pools, tennis, golf, very relaxing, and the Four Seasons just, you know, they put an emphasis on customer service.
All right, moving on. Number four, what is the single best thing you've ever eaten on a golf trip and where and why? Yeah.
Or wire.
Again, I have two answers for that. The first one would be the peach ice cream sandwich cookie at Augusta National. Mm-hmm. It's about an inch thick slab of peach impregnated ice cream in two sugar cookies that are wider than a hockey puck. And you could eat those from dawn till dusk. They're just sumptuous. The second would be the peanut butter jelly and bacon sandwich that you get at the halfway house at Fisher's Island. It is life-changing.
Boy, is he a man after our own heart or what?
The life-changing sandwich.
Peanut butter and bacon.
Peanut butter, jelly, and bacon.
Yeah. Well, of course. So when I say peanut butter, the jelly comes with it.
Two pieces of white bread, chunky peanut butter, grape jelly, and crisp bacon. and wrapped in a parchment paper. You cut it; it's cut in half for you already. You pull it out, and nobody talks for a few minutes as they just sit and your eyes roll back in your head. It's just it's an amazing thing.
That is outstanding. And it, once you get to Sand Valley, if you ever do up in Wisconsin, that they built, they have similar ice cream sandwiches to what you described at the turnstand there. And it's been well documented on the Talking Golf Getaways podcast that I ate many, many, many on my recent trip, and will do so again when I return in August here of 2017.
And if the ice cream sandwiches didn't melt, I would have put a truckload of them in my car. That would be something that you couldn't explain to the TSA, is that stuff's dripping out of the bottom of the suitcase.
All right, there's a great gift idea for Tim Alpa. Now I know what we can get you: a bag full of dry ice and those ice cream sandwiches.
There you go.
That'll be coming your way. Speaking of gifts, Tim, because on our Scotland podcast, you told us a story that moved, I know, both Darren and I know it moved you when it happened, about a club that you brought to St. Andrews. And this question, I think, is going to tie in, because it's the kind of guy you are. Besides the actual golf, what's the most important thing to you on a trip?
It is the people you meet that you were not scheduled to meet. The people, the memory makers, the people who provide you with stories that you can regale your friends with and for years to come. Like Archie Baird, the gentleman that I met at the old course at St. Andrews, whose great-great-grandfather was James Spence, and I was able to reunite him with his great-great-grandfather's golf club 95 years after he actually made it. The pro from Chicago and the pro from Gullen, who recognized me just by my divot tool, having never met me before. And things, stories like that, people like that, that provide stories like that, is a part of the golf game that you can't schedule, you can't script, and when it unfolds, it just embellishes the whole experience.
Yeah, definitely. And it's an amazing thing, the people we meet in the game of golf. And it doesn't matter where you go, whether it's, you know, the greatest places on the planet like Scotland or Bannon, or even just sometimes just a place that you hit up on the road somewhere, you know, where you're just a one-off to play golf somewhere, and you end up with some guy, you know, on the back nine or getting in a late emergency nine. I'm always dumbfounded by just the number of great people I've met through the game.
And when you pull out a hickory club, you just ramp that opportunity up so much more, because people come out of the woodwork to come over and actually talk to you. When I pull
literally
out and set them on my trestle stand, and people look over and see you and they go, are all your clubs made out of wood? All of a sudden you're engaged in a 20-minute conversation.
Yep. Well, speaking of woodwork, this question where we ask favorite apparel and or equipment, obviously we recommend to everyone your divot tools. What's the one piece of golf apparel you'd recommend to everyone?
The one piece of golf apparel, I would say a pair of Packlight Galvin Green pants and top. They're compact, lightweight. You can throw them in your bag, and you're playing a round of golf in Scotland, and the four seasons of weather hit you all within a four-hour period, and you were able to pull those things out and save your round and make it enjoyable and tolerable. I would say that and a Gore-Tex hat, because an umbrella in Scotland, you put it down and you could be two towns over before the wind stopped blowing it.
I love that. Two towns over. Anybody seen my umbrella? All right. Now, we have talked a lot about golf, a lot about hickories. We always ask, and we're always interested, Darren and I, hickories is kind of a different thing. So handicap is a horse of a different color, if you will. But your handicap, if you have one, if you keep one, and what yardage do you play from? Do you like to mix it up? Do you like to experience a course from different tees, even with the hickories?
I have two handicaps. My steel handicap's around 9, and I haven't really played a ton of steel golf in the last few years, but my hickory handicap's about a 13. And I'll play courses anywhere from 6,000 to 6,200 yards with the hickories, and it makes for an enjoyable experience. If you get some of the modern courses that are a little bit longer and you're hitting mid irons to 60 yards shy of the green, it's just not fun. And in steel and hickory, I'll pretty much play where anybody else wants to play because it's about the shot values. If you play forward with some steel clubs and you have somebody whose best drive could be 180 yards and you pull out a five iron and keep pace with them, you're still hitting shots. And that's what it's all about. It's not your score. It's not how far you hit it. It's being with other people and being able to be presented with a shot and pull it off.
Yep, definitely. Speaking of that, you're on the golf course playing with anybody from any yardage. Who's your favorite golfing partner and why?
I would say my favorite golfing partner would be someone who shares my philosophy about the game. And I read a book from Bobby Jones recently, and this expression came up, and it pretty much summarizes my thoughts and yours as well, Darren and Mitch. A good shot in golf is a mistake, and a bad shot in golf is good exercise. And when you play in Scotland and you finish your round, you come in and they say, how was your afternoon or how was your morning? No one says, what did you shoot? Because it's about the experience. It's not about the score. And so anybody who shares that philosophy is the kind of person that I'd like to play with.
What a great answer. It's really a fantastic answer. All right, we've come to the end of your emergency nine, Mr. Alpaugh. The one golf course, and you have played a ton of them, what's the one golf course you wish everyone knew about?
I heard in one of your earlier podcasts that East Potomac, and I've played it, and it's incredible because you're standing there and you have vistas of the Washington Monument through a number of your shots, but I would put that up there in the category, but I would say Brora, north of Dornoch, is an incredible golf course. There are crofters who have property alongside the golf course on the non-water side, and they're allowed to let their animals graze on the property, and they do. And that's a form of landscaping for them. There are also a few cow pies that you encounter in your journeys. But the greens are surrounded by a 9-inch high strand of electrified wire to keep the animals from actually settling down on the putting greens. But it was built in, I think, the teens by James Braid. And if you took a black and white picture of it then and a black and white picture of it now, I don't think it's changed that much. And it's a special treat.
We were turned on to Brora by our friend Tom Mackin, formerly of Lynx Magazine and now works for Troon Travel and Golf. And it's his favorite course in the entire world. He absolutely loves it. We had to add it to our trip specifically because he was on the trip with us, and it did not disappoint. Obviously, we're huge fans of Brora and just can't wait to get back there. And I keep telling everybody who will listen, if you're going to the north for any reason, you've got to make the trip up there.
And I had the good fortune of playing the James Braid Brassy on that course when I played it. And I played a Ben Sayers Mashie Niblick when I played North Berwick. So that added to the experience of both of those trips.
Nice.
And I think that's such a great connection between the hickory world and that you play courses that were designed by somebody, clubs that have their name on them. And what better way to end this discussion of the Emergency Nine, except my better way is to take a sip of Cardew 12 out of my Brora glass. So that's what I'll do.
Perhaps I will as well.
There you go. Darren will as well. And we will echo your sentiments about one of our favorite courses in the world. Tim, it's been a pleasure. It's been a treat. Anytime we get to talk to you, it is. You are a font of knowledge and talent. And once again, thanks for joining us. I know we're going to do it again soon.
Thanks, Mitch. It's been a pleasure talking to you, gentlemen. And it's the first time I've ever been called a font before.
Well, if you hang around Darren and I long enough, there's a lot of names that you'll hear. Font is a great one. Again, you can find Tim Allpaugh on Instagram, and I can't recommend it highly enough, at Claret Dreamer on Instagram. And you can check him out, claretdreamer@gmail.com. If you want to email him, ask him any questions, he will get back to you almost instantaneously. He's great that way. And pick up his copy, Claret Dreams, the book that he authored. It will enthrall you, as did this discussion, we hope. You can find that on Amazon. So again, thanks to Tim and Darren. We want to thank our sponsor for this episode again. So happy about PacificGales.com.
Oh, yes. And for more information about the Pacific Gales Founders Club and a lifetime of Lynx Golf, visit PacificGales.com. That's G-A-L-E-S. And don't forget to follow at Pacific Gales on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
Absolutely. So thanks to everyone who's listening. You can hit us up on Twitter. Darren's at Getaways Golf. I am at Mitch Lawrence, L-A-U-R-A-N-C-E. Use the hashtags Talking Golf, Getaways, Emergency 9, or of course, our favorite. You should know it by now. That's all there is to it. Two haggis bags, and you can get our attention. If you're enjoying Talking Golf Getaways, share it. Share it on your social media. You can rate us on iTunes. Help us spread the word about the best in golf travel. It is what we love to do. Thanks again for listening. Thanks, Tim. Thanks, Darren. I'm Mitch. Until next time, thanks, Tom Petty. Keep running down the dream, everybody. So long.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.